swing and a high drive into center field. Hits at the wall. It is gone. Casas does it again.
Again.
It's gone. It's into the bullpen. This game is tied. This game is tied.
And he swings and rips one to center field. It's high. It's deep. It's back. It's gone. Sale winds. He fires. Swing and a miss. Strike three. It's over.
All right, Play Tessie, we're back, episode 307. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcast, rate 5 stars, and follow us on the socials at Play Tessie, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. Just Gordo and Sammy here today. Pat is at the he's tailgating the Pats right now. We tried to find a way to make it work to get all three of us, but it wasn't going to work. We'll obviously be back later in the week, and we'll get plenty of Pat thoughts. I'm sure the situation is going to develop a ton by then, but obviously, you know the news by now. Alex Bregman is gone. He is signed with the Chicago Cubs, 5 years, $175 million. $70 million of that money is deferred. The Red Sox were willing to go to 5 years. Maybe the reports are around $160-ish million with deferred money. He gets a no-trade clause with the Cubs. The Red Sox were not willing to do that. Obviously, as you saw with Rafael Devers trading the guy at the very beginning of an extension, the Red Sox definitely like to keep their options open, and that was the case with Bregman. Who knows how much of a sticking point it was, but just for me, I said it over and over again this entire offseason from the second the season ended. I remember tweeting out when Bregman, I think he walked or something in his final plate appearance with the Red Sox, and I remember tweeting at that time because it was clear the Red Sox were going to lose the game. Like, I hope that that's not Bregman's last at-bat or plate appearance with the Red Sox. And I definitely didn't believe it was. The entire offseason preached over and over and over and over again that I thought that Alex Bregman was going to come back. These two teams, these two sides needed each other. I thought it was a sure bet. When we went on Baseballs and Boring with Bradfoe, he asked us for our number one, like we made free agent predictions, and he asked us to give him the number one surest bet. What are you most sure about? And my most sure was Alex Bregman back to the Red Sox. And I was wrong. He's not coming back. 5 years, no opt-outs, no trade clause. He is not coming back. And if my preaching that Alex Bregman was going to come back at any point in this offseason gave you confidence that made what happened sting any more than it already would have, I'm sorry.
I'm right there with you, Gordon. I am absolutely shocked. This seemed like the most obvious fit you could possibly think up. Like you said, both sides needed each other. And this is the issue with the Red Sox for the last 5 years. You could talk about the money, the trades they've made or haven't made, all of that. But at the end of the day, it's the acting like the smartest guy in the room, tiptoeing around these negotiations, which, by the way, if you believe 5 years, $160 million is their offer, which is what's been rumored, that's a good offer. But they weren't aggressive like they said they would be. Maybe you offer that earlier and Bregman signs. Maybe he doesn't. We don't know. But the point is, they wind up missing out on their guy once again. And how many times have we had this conversation over the last 3 years or so? Oh, they were close. They were in on XYZ. They feel like they made a competitive offer. They felt they were aggressive. None of it matters. They never get their guy in the end. Almost never, I should say. Once in a while, the blind squirrel finds a nut. But still, it's so hard to have faith in this front office as a Red Sox fan. Naturally, everybody on social media turns their sights to Bo Bichette. Saw Bob Nightingale call him an obvious fit. I think that's true. He is an obvious fit. I'll ask you, Gordo, do you have any faith in the Red Sox pivoting to Bo Bichette and successfully signing him?
Well, if you want to look at it from the optimistic point of view, the guys that the Red Sox have been willing to pay have all been younger guys, and Bo Bichette is 27. If they offered supposedly Alex Bregman 5 years and Bo Bichette is 4 years younger. So that should speak to the length of deal that they should be willing to offer Bo Bichette. That's if you want to look at it from a positive standpoint.
Gordo math. Give me Gordo math.
That's the Gordo math right there. That is hashtag Gordo math.
9 year deal.
Yeah. 9 year deal right there. But hashtag real facts is that how can you possibly have faith in the Red Sox not just getting a guy who is asking reportedly for $300 million, but beating the likes of the Phillies, the Blue Jays, the Yankees. Like, no, they do not beat those teams. They have not beaten those teams since 2019, like, for anybody. The only big
free agent signings
they've made. Yeah, throw the Dodgers in there.
Move Mookie back to the outfield. There you go. Wow.
The only guy that they've gotten in the last X amount of years is Alex Bregman, when they basically said it's our price or nothing, and he had nothing else out there, so he took their price.
Right. That's it. Don't even give them credit for that.
No, like, you shouldn't.
The whole thing, I'm sure we'll dig into the Devers thing, but
we'll get there.
Like, we spoke about how whether or not the Red Sox care about optics. We spoke about that two episodes ago. I think you and Pat said they do. I said they don't. But we all agreed, regardless of if they care or not, the optics are so bad constantly with this team, over and over and over again. And I think about it more and more. Craig Breslow was like, what, the fifth or sixth pick to be the chief baseball officer, which is basically the GM. And that's what you get when you operate in this bizarre way where you shouldn't be operating. You don't flex your financial might. And then you end up with a guy like Breslow, a trigger man with no trigger finger, who can't close deals. So the Red Sox, what I'm saying, they kind of earned this. This is what you get when you operate like a small market team, when you're owned by a billion-dollar conglomerate company, whatever the fuck Fenway Sports Group is. It's insane, and there's no excuse for it.
Can we talk about, go back, because you talked about, do you even give the Red Sox credit for getting Bregman a year ago? Can I get on my soapbox a little bit about these opt-out deals that I've been against for a while? But when they got Bregman last year, I was excited enough to kind of just ignore my previous opinions on it. But like, now that the negative has happened, or one of the several negative outcomes that could possibly come when you sign one of these 3-year deals where they can opt out after every year, like it just came to the surface for me. When you give a player, an outside the organization player with a qualifying offer, when you give them a deal like this, whether it's 3 years in opt-outs after each year, 4 years in opt-outs after each year, whatever, as long as there's an opt-out after the first year, the downside to those deals, I'll give you the options. Number one is what happened. The guy bails, you lost the pick, you gave market value money, $40 million in this case, for 1 year, and you enrage the fan base because you dangle the carrot and then you take it away from them. Option number two is he continuously opts into the deal because he sucks, which plenty of free agents, they sign big money deals and then they suck. Option three is he opts out, hits free agency, and you pay him even more than you would have had to pay him a year ago had you just been willing to give the guy the $160 million he would have taken last year. The upside of it is you have a 1-year window. The downside of these deals greatly outweighs the upside every single time. And it poses the question, and I'm sure that they saw Alex Bregman in that clubhouse. They saw what he did on and off the field and decided, wow, you know, this guy is the truth. But why were they not? The guy was a year younger and you gave up the pick anyway. Why were you not willing to go 5-6 years last year, but now you're willing to go there? It's like, that's what that, like, it's not that they, like, $160 million offer. That's actually a fine offer. You said it's, I agree. Like, I think it's a fine offer. I thought he was going to go for less than that.
Yeah. I said 130, 140.
Yeah. But it's the point what was they the aggression. Did last year. And we'll get to the Devers stuff too, but it's what they did last year that makes this so unacceptable.
I mean, which are the best teams? Let's say the best teams in the league, Dodgers, Blue Jays, Yankees, who else you want to throw in there? Phillies, these good teams, these teams that are good year in and year out. They don't do these pillow contracts with guys who are, you know, 31 years old. Maybe if a guy's 36 and they want him for a short term, sure. Okay, that makes sense. But a guy like Bregman, a pillow contract, you just laid it out beautifully, Gordo. That's not what the Red Sox should be doing. You want your guy, go get your guy and lock him in long term. And we heard yesterday at Fenway Fest, which we'll get to that as well, Roman Anthony just waxing poetic about how important Alex Bregman is to him. And then hours later, he's gone. He's with the Chicago Cubs now. It's just, it's almost comical how the Red Sox just step on a rake and hit themselves in the face over and over again. It's like an endless cycle of stupidity from this team that thinks they're so fucking smart. You're not that smart. Everyone is smarter than you right now, Red Sox.
Can we talk about how perfect the timing of this was for them too?
Oh,
like can we?
Perfect,
so
perfect timing.
We're at Fenway Fest, and I still haven't listened. And honestly, I don't even know if I will go back and listen to the interviews that we didn't get to hear because we were doing other things. But I know that Chris Curtis opened up his interview with Breslow with something along the lines of, oh, we only have 5 minutes, which is perfect amount of time to talk about the signings. But it's like, imagine the amount of grilling that the media, that the fans, like imagine the atmosphere at Fenway Fest if this Bregman deal with Chicago happens 24 hours earlier. So the Red Sox, they get Fenway Fest, and now we're recording this in the morning, so we don't know the outcome of the Patriots game, but win or lose, like the Patriots are gonna take up headlines tomorrow. Like the timing could not be better for the Red Sox to lose Alex Bregman.
I
can't believe they lost Alex Bregman.
I hope people don't let him off the hook. Like, don't let this one. This is egregious. And again, we haven't even brought up Rafael Devers in a detailed way yet. We mentioned him, but like, wait until we dig into that. This is just, I'm not even surprised. I'm surprised that Alex Bregman is gone, but I'm not surprised that we're pissed off again in this fashion in the offseason. It had to be someone. They had to do something stupid. They do this every friggin' offseason. And here we are again, Gordo. And now we're talking about, what are the options? Make another trade? You want to trade now for Ketel Marte? Now you're at the point where it's like, okay, what would you have left in the farm if you did that? Isak Paredes? Is that jazzing you up now that Wilson Contreras is your first baseman? Your defense would suck and your offense would take a step back? Like, this absolutely blows. It's like Bo Bichette or bust, and I have no confidence that they outbid any of those teams we mentioned. Dodgers, Blue Jays, Phillies, who knows if the Yankees get involved, and then the friggin' mystery team. There's always a goddamn mystery team. They're not going to – I have no faith they're going to get Bo Bichette. I would love to be wrong. I've got no faith.
That's the thing is right now it's Bo or bust, and it didn't have to – like if they had just signed Pete Alonso, like back at the beginning of the offseason, like our dreams were number two starter, Pete Alonso, Alex Bregman, or Ketel Marte.
How right? stupid does that sound right now?
It sounds How ridiculously stupid. Dumb. But had they gotten Pete Alonso, yeah, maybe we would be of the opinion that, okay, the dream offseason is out the window, but a good offseason can still be had, because if the offseason was Pete Alonso is your first baseman, and then let's say Isak Paredes is your third baseman, that's still a pretty damn good offseason. But going like Contreras and any other option that's not Bo Bichette, and Ketel Marte would certainly be that from a talent standpoint, but you're really going to now trade for Sonny, trade for Contreras, and trade for Ketel Marte? Like, that is a huge farm drain in one offseason. Like, that's why, for me, it's like, even if Marte is potentially still on the table, and I know the Diamondbacks took him off the table, I'm sure if the Red Sox put forth the offer that the Diamondbacks liked, they would still do it. But even with that, it is Bo or bust. Like, the offseason already is dangerously close to bust territory.
Yeah, we're trying not to bust. You could also, this is unrealistic, of course, with the caveat of that, make the Ketel Marte trade, and then you flip Duran to a team like the Dodgers, who are you're already their farm system, so why not, and get rushing and maybe another prospect back in return. So then your farm system's built back up a little bit, and you're not completely depleting it. But again, no faith in the Red Sox carrying out any of these plans. Any of these plans that you could talk about on a podcast for an hour and have 3-4 people agree, yeah, that makes sense financially, on the field, present and future. I don't think they're going to do any of them. We were talking, Joe Ryan, Freddy Peralta, Mackenzie Gore, all these pitch Cole Reagans, and they wind up with Sonny Gray. And that's like, that seemed like the easy one, the pitcher. Like, the lineup was a bit more complicated. You needed to bring back Bregman and then add another bat. You got to solve the logjam. Obviously, they're not going to do any of that, or all of it at least. And then the rotation, I think this is it. I think it's Sonny Gray. So this offseason is headed in the wrong direction fast. And it feels like after yesterday, after Bregman leaving, it feels like it's officially off the rails.
Yeah, and it's crazy because you look back, let's say, 8-10 months ago. I mean, they had earned, maybe not earned, but they had gained a lot of trust back. Like, they had signed Bregman, $40 million a year. They had traded for Crochet. They then extended Crochet. They extended Christian Campbell. They extended Roman Anthony. They extended Aroldis Chapman. The Devers trade in there definitely fractured a lot of that, but they were doing a lot of good things. And it looked like if you justified the Devers trade from a clubhouse standpoint, and we should get into the Devers trade stuff, but in terms of the trust, it's like they had it. They really were able to undergo a half decade hidden rebuild of sorts that they should never have to do with the amount of money and assets and power this franchise has, but they did it. And they gained a lot of it back. And here we are today. The trust in this organization, and it dates back to the Devers trade, which we should relitigate.
Yeah.
The trust should be right now at an all-time low.
Yep, agree. I have no faith in the direction that this team is going. I love the young prospects. I love Roman Anthony, Marcelo Meyer, Christian Campbell, all these guys, Tolley, Early. I think those guys are all great. I have no faith in the front office supplementing those guys. I think they're going to be on teams like 2025 where they're good but not great. They get walked into playoffs. That's it. They're not willing to go above and beyond, and all the best teams do that. There's no exception. I guess you could be Milwaukee, where once every 5 years you have a really good team and then you get dusted by the Dodgers. That's fun.
I mean, think back to where this all starts, because like it really all does start with Mookie Betts. They trade Mookie Betts, and then they let Xander Bogaerts go in free agency, and trust is where it is. And they justified the Betts trade by saying, okay, like we need to be able to pay guys like Xander, guys like Devers. So we're like, okay, they traded Mookie so they could sign Sammy.
They're also gaslighting the fan base throughout this entire time, telling you they tried, telling you they want to bring X, Y, and Z back or trade for whoever. So it's not just the moves. It's the way it's being communicated to the fan base, which hurts the trust even more. Continue.
Yeah, absolutely. But it's like they trade Mookie. They say they can sign Xander and Raffy. They don't sign Xander. So now they're backed into a corner where they absolutely have to sign Raffy. They do it. We throw a big party because they sign Rafael Devers. Now, fast forward to the 2025 season. They tell Devers nothing's wrong. You're not. Your third base is yours, whatever. They sign Alex Bregman. They could have played him at second base. They played him at third. They ruined their relationship with their franchise star, their longest tenured player. Ruined the relationship. They trade the guy. They cite clubhouse concerns. They tell us, the fans, that it was not a salary dump, that they will reinvest the money. They put Bregman throughout the entire season on this pedestal, talking about how great he is, talking about on and off the field, all of his teammates, all of the coaches, the front office. They talk about everything that this guy brings to the table. So it's a natural thought that... Did I lose you guys? No? Okay. It's a natural thought that, okay, Alex Bregman's going to be the guy they pay, which is part of the reason why all offseason, we think this guy's coming back. But they let him walk, and the money that they said was going to be reinvested has been invested in a 36-year-old starting pitcher on a one-year deal who they had to have half the contract eaten to acquire, and a 34-year-old first baseman on a two-year deal where they also had to have $8 million eaten to facilitate the trade.
If you combine the ages of Sonny Gray and Wilson Contreras, they're 70.
And it's nothing against these guys. It's like these guys are good supplemental pieces for really good teams. But when you're talking about, and trust me, like I don't know about you, Sammy. I am of the belief that they're not done and they're going to add something. But as of right now, Wilson Contreras is the Rafael Devers and Alex Bregman replacement. Sonny Gray is replacing Lucas Giolito. He's not improving the staff. Lucas Giolito had a really good year last year. If Sonny Gray does that, you'll be thrilled.
Ooh, I mean, yeah, I think they're gonna try to add. It's probably the nicest thing I could say about them right now. I think they'll
genuinely
make an effort.
In your heart of hearts, I ask myself this question, like, what do I actually think they're going to do? And I don't have an answer for it.
I really don't know. I think the next thing we're gonna hear is that they've made an offer to Bichette, and I don't think it's gonna work. Maybe they pivot to Geno Suarez for a 2-year deal.
Oh, can I give you? Here's why I have a hard time. I mean, there's the obvious reasons why we should be skeptical that they'll sign Bo Bichette. He's an expensive baseball player. It kind of starts and ends there.
Yep.
But going a little bit deeper, they had $300 million invested in Rafael Devers before the whole stare down the fight, before any of that went down. They clearly had concerns about that deal that they considered quote unquote underwater because of his defense, because he was a DH. So why should we believe that they're going to pay even $200 million to Bo Bichette, who has plenty of defense concerns? Well, and he's young, just like Devers is.
I'll give you the answer. It's kind of like before Devers was extended. We were all saying, why would we believe that they're going to extend Rafael Devers? They haven't shown a willingness to pay these big contracts, and then they did it. The reason would be is because they have absolutely no other choice, and they're backed into a corner. That would be the only reason. I think the chances of the Red Sox signing Bo Bichette are like 5%, and that might even be generous.
I mean, I guess I would put it higher than that, but I can't sit here and say I think that it's going to happen. I mean, I do think, and I was talking to you guys about this yesterday, I do find it super weird how we didn't hear the Phillies in on Bo nearly at all this offseason, and then snap your fingers, they've got a meeting on Monday, and now half of the baseball world considers them not just like the favorites, but the strong favorites. Like, that's weird to me.
I think they deserve it, though. They deserve that. They've shown an ability to get these deals done. Dave Dombrowski, we know about his history. He used to be here with the Red Sox. He helped craft the best Red Sox team in team history. And I don't think it's that crazy, because they will get a guy like Bo Bichette and then figure out what to do with the other pieces after. They're not like the Red Sox, where they're like, we have to offload Yoshida before we do X, Y, and Z. They're like, no, that's a good player. Let's get him and figure out the rest after. And that's why they're in the playoffs every year, in the NLCS a lot of the time. That's the difference between the Red Sox and a team that wants to win. And I often roll my eyes when people say the Red Sox don't want to win. Like, how could you argue against that right now? Does it seem like the front office cares at all? Because they could have gotten this done, like, fair offer. Like, that was a decent offer. But we were told they were going to be aggressive. Aggressive and something else. I forget what.
Decisive.
Decisive. Thank you. Aggressive and decisive. They were neither of those things. Yes, they put the money up that it may have taken to get Alex Bregman. But what happens if you do this a month ago and show, hey, we really want you back? We are really motivated
last
to win.
Last season.
Right.
Last off season.
Either that, even better. Do it last. Like, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. Everything they do, it's just so fucking frustrating. How many times have we had this conversation about how the way the Red Sox operate doesn't add up? And then they gaslight us, and there's these certain segment of fans who I'm not going to, not naming names or anyone, just people who are like, well, actually, you know, Sonny Gray deal is better than you think. And all these things they're doing is actually, all these bad things are actually good. And then they never turn out to be good. And the Red Sox make a sneak peek in the playoffs, and then bam, they're gone. And now we're back in this cycle of, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs as things stand right now. The amount of moves they'd have to make to get into the playoffs now, in my eyes, with the way the AL East has improved, I don't think they're a playoff team. They'd have to get Bo Bichette and another pitcher, in my opinion, to be a playoff team. Or get some insane bullpen piece so you have a super pen. Something like that. And I don't think they're going to do it.
I think if they get Bo Bichette, they're a playoff team.
How?
If they got Alex Bregman back, pitching staff, and let's assume a lefty reliever too, because they've been in that market. And even
Kalumb.
If they get
give him Kalumb.
Yeah, I he'd be my favorite guy. But even if they get a guy that none of us like they did last year with Justin Wilson, like they have not earned our trust in terms of the big things. But in terms of like just simply evaluating pitching, they have earned the benefit of the doubt there. So I sure. Do think they're going to end up fine on the left hand side of the bullpen. Whatever. If they get Bichette or if they got Bregman, the pitching staff is the rotation's basically in the same spot as it was last year. The lineup is in, compared to the end of last year, it's in a better spot just because they added Contreras, and the bullpen's in a similar spot, and they were a playoff team last year.
Right. But
that's them getting Bichette, which we don't think they're going to do.
Right, but even if they did that, you had a career year from Crochet last year, career year from Bayo last year, career year from Chapman last year. Whitlock was completely unhittable. I just don't think they're playing. And oh my God, we again, if they do get Bichette, that infield defense, that middle infield, holy
shit. We don't
know,
though. We don't know how he's going to be at not.
What are the odds? He was literally the worst defensive shortstop in the entire league last year. What are the odds he's better than 25th percentile defender? And I'm not even saying don't sign him because of this. This is just something you'd have to eat. I just don't think it's that simple. I have people tweeting at me like, oh, no, he'll be fine. How the fuck do you think he'll be fine? I see a million people saying this with no evidence whatsoever.
Well, that's the thing is you can't know. But no. But I do think he'd be above the 25th percentile. But admittedly, it's kind of
that's
a
not great. Yet. Yeah, fair. Joe?
I mean, completely honest, I told you guys before we started going, even if they do get Bichette, I'm still not happy. I'm still not happy with how they're operating as a front office because – just like you guys said about the Devers thing, they were backed into a corner and they had no choice but to sign Bichette. So honestly, even if they do sign Bichette, I'm not going to be happy about it because of the way they're operating.
It's like they do the right thing for the wrong reason in that scenario.
Well, I actually disagree with that. If they sign Bo Bichette, because like for, let's say, a month at this point, we've been saying Bregman or Bichette, Bregman or Bichette, Bregman or Bichette. If they signed Bichette before Bregman left, it would be a completely different conversation. Like to me, it really is about how much money are they spending? What's the end outcome? What's the roster? How many games do they win? And if they accomplish the Bregman or Bichette by signing the more expensive and younger player, I can't be upset about that. But I just don't think it's going to happen. So I will not sit here and give them credit for something that they have not done. It's something that I don't think they will do. Right now, all they've done is lose Alex Bregman. That's what they've done.
Yep. Yeah, you can't give them the benefit of the doubt for any of these things, aside from what you just said, the little, you know, peripheral moves. Guys like Ryan Watson. I got a lot of faith in Ryan Watson. That gets Red Sox fans fired up.
Yeah. Sammy, how are you going to, when it's all said and done, how do you grade out the Alex Bregman era in Boston? And I'm not talking about from Alex Bregman specifically as a player, talking about the entirety of everything that went down.
Like a D plus. You made the playoffs. You had a guy impart some knowledge on your young players, but in the end it jettisoned the face of your franchise endeavors, and then you miss out on Bregman. And those young guys are probably pissed now too. This is the first time probably that Roman Anthony and Marcelo Meyer are feeling a little bit negative towards the Red Sox organization. That's another thing. This is the first time. They will feel that way many other times if things continue in this way. So
awesome. They will feel just year in and year out, just like us.
You know what? Just start hemorrhaging those relationships now, Red Sox. Just piss them off. Why wait? Just make them angry now.
Dude, they've got 10 years to piss Roman Anthony off. That it'll happen.
No, they could trade him in the middle of a season because Roman like says something they don't like. Who knows?
Yeah. I'm on board with you. I think a D plus is the way to put it. Because what did you get out of it?
You made the playoffs. That's a big deal. That's it.
Yeah. But the thing is, I don't know if you're saying that sarcastically or not, but I actually do think that's a
No, okay, I mean so it. That is a big deal, especially after missing it for a few times. And like it's baseball. It's not like hockey or basketball where half the league makes the playoffs. It is a big deal to make the playoffs. So I am giving them credit for that genuinely.
Yeah. And I will too, especially with where they're at for the most part as an organization with a lot of these kids. Like maybe they didn't get to play there. So I don't know. But getting there as an organization for the fan base, for the players, for the team, it was a big step. So you get that. But you just look at what it did to the fan base. The fan base is more pissed off now than they were before Bregman even signed. It's like you lost something, even though in the end it's just losing something that you gained last year. And you lose a draft pick, you lose $40 million, and most importantly, you ruined the relationship with Rafael Devers, which, who knows, maybe this guy would have soured on the organization that he was with for so long anyway at some point in time, but certainly wouldn't have been now. Maybe moving him off third base, which they probably would have wanted to do in the coming years anyway, maybe that was going to be a point of contention regardless, but they could have handled it better than they did with the Bregman situation. Like, they could have eased him into it, told him at the beginning of an offseason so he had a whole winter by himself to just kind of blow off steam, as opposed to doing it in front of the media, in front of the fans, in front of everybody.
The whole experience. Sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say the whole experience, really, it took everything you had, which was like slowly but incrementally moving in the right direction. And it's just, the experience is a big step back. Like, mm-hmm. It's a step forward for some of the kids who learned a lot from him, but it's a step back, a big step back as an organization.
Looking back on the Devers thing, I feel like they should have moved him off of third base when they extended him. Make those two things happen at the same time. So it's like, all right, hey man, we're moving you off of third, but here's $313 million. I feel like that would have cushioned the blow a bit. And he was bad at third base for years before that. You know, since we started the podcast, I've been saying, get Devers off of third. He's a fucking nightmare over there, and he still is, and probably always will be if he ever plays there again. Probably won't. That would have been the move looking back. I can't say I told you
so. He may not have signed, though, because he took a lot of pride in third base. Like, he didn't want to move off that.
But is that Devers payday just was like, is he just a moron then? Like, you're one of the worst defensive third basemen in the entire league for years, and they offer you $300 million. And you're like, no, I'm not taking that because I take pride in my shit defense. Ugh, all right, whatever. Either way, he's gone. Bregman's gone. I don't know what plan C, D, E, F, G is, but there's Bo Bichette, and I don't think they're going to get Bo Bichette. And then you're looking at Gino Suarez, who almost struck out 200 times in 2025, but he's got good power.
Yeah. I keep trying to think about the impact that I think that this could potentially, like, because I see a lot of people saying, oh, Sadon's, they're going to keep all the outfielders and Rafael is going to play second base.
Gross.
First off, I think there's no chance that Sadon Rafael plays, let's just put it at more second base than he does center field next year. And second of all, if he did, that might be even more ridiculous than some of the stuff. Like, he cannot play the infield next year. He is your center fielder.
How could you say there's no chance that's going to happen?
You're right, I can't.
All the talk we've just had about how stupid this organization has become, how illogical they operate. Illogically they operate?
Yes.
I botched that one, but you get the point. Like, I think the Sadon at second base is a putrid, disgusting, pathetic move, if that's what it comes to. Would not be shocked if that's the way they go. And by the way, this is not me saying that I don't think Sadon would be a good defensive second baseman. I think he'd be very good. Above average for sure. He played a full season there, but I don't care. He's the best defensive center fielder in the world. Put him in center field. It's so painfully simple.
He's also, let's put it bluntly here, he's a below average hitter, and his value comes from the fact that he is an all-world defensive center fielder. He probably could be an above average second baseman, but an above average second baseman and a below average bat, like, sorry, that doesn't get me excited at all. I don't want to call it a waste of a lineup spot, but close to that. Kevin Centerfield is the furthest thing from that. Like, he's an impact player out there.
Can I pitch an idea that you might hate, but you might like?
Yes.
Cubs have a logjam now because they have too many good players. what if the Red Sox trade for Nico Horner, who's a 6 WAR player in 2025, put him at second? Then at least you're doubling down on having good defense. You put Meyer at third, very good defenders. You have Contreras at first, very good defender. Narvaez catching, very good defender. Everybody in the outfield is a plus defender. And then Story, if that's your weak point, I think that's fine because everyone else around him is stout defensively. So maybe you could do that and then you move Duran for whatever, or you keep Duran. I don't know. That would be obviously not plan A, B, or C, but that's a fine plan D, E, F. And then he can walk next year and go to a better team.
Acquiring the Cubs sloppy seconds that they're kicking to the curb because they signed Alex Bregman. Sloppy seconds.
You get
and
Matt
he's a
Shaw.
Rental. He's a Matt rental. Shaw. And he's never hit more than 10 home runs in a season in his career. I get that he was great last year. But there's this thing called team fit. Like, what does a team need?
Dude, there's also a thing called dwindling options. How did Nico Horner hit last year? Let me, I know he doesn't have the power that we want. There's nobody out there who does.
297 with a 739 OPS, 114 OPS plus. but had a 6.2 WAR. I mean, he's a great defender.
29 he's a bags. Rental.
That's the problem though. It's like the thing with Bregman and like signing him to an opt out deal. It makes me not want to trade for a guy like Nico Horner. It makes me not want to trade for a guy like Freddie Peralta. It makes me not want the Red Sox to plunge significant assets into rentals. It's like, if you're going to make a trade, it better be for a guy like, let's say Wilson Contreras, who has 2 years plus a team option, because guess what? He can't leave in free agency. He has to stay.
Yeah, technically true, but with the way the Red Sox operate, I feel like his agent would find a loophole in the contract, and then they'd be like, wow, this has never happened before. Wilson Contreras just walked out the fucking door, and now he's with the Dodgers as their backup DH. Congratulations, Wilson. Enjoy your championship.
Enjoy.
That's what we've come to. Loopholes that don't exist are just going to start popping up because of all the bad energy surrounding the Red Sox. Dude, if the Patriots lose tonight, I might lose my mind.
Yeah, it's been a rough go.
This is, it's not fine. At least the Bruins won 10-2 yesterday. That was cool.
I feel bad for, sorry, Joe, one sec. I feel bad, like, if there are people listening to this podcast, actually, we're releasing this podcast before the Patriots game, so it's not necessary, but there are going to be people who listen to this on Monday. And if the Pats lost,
well, you can imagine me freaking out and staring at the ceiling.
Good. Just be good to yourself.
Yeah.
Joe?
Can I offer this perspective? I personally think the Cubs are going to regret that contract.
Yeah.
Like, I think you, all three of us, and probably Pat, who's not here, he'll agree with that too. That'll be a contract that Chicago very much regrets, even though it's in deferrals, there's no opt-outs, no trade clause. I'm sorry, Alex Bregman is not a $35 million per year, which is the AAV on that deal. But going back to the benefit of the doubt for the Sox, yes, they make these decisions of not paying an aging Alex Bregman, getting rid of a one-dimensional Rafael Devers, letting an aging Xander Bogaerts go. But they never have a backup plan. They never have a good reason for making that. They never justify it. Like, yes, it's a good idea to do all these decisions, but they never have a surefire plan B. Like, you can't just turn to Roman Anthony and be like, that's going to be our Rafael Devers guy, but he's only in year two.
So it's funny. Like, let's imagine a world where the Phillies lost Kyle Schwarber. Phillies fans obviously would have been pissed because they love Kyle Schwarber, but there would have been no part of that fan base that thought that the Phillies were just going to like enter the season with that roster. They would have been, okay, which one of Bo Bichette or Alex Bregman or Kyle Tucker or Cody Bellinger are we going to sign instead?
Right.
And you know, with the Red Sox, like, it's the complete opposite.
How sad is this? We haven't even mentioned Kyle Tucker. We haven't even spoken about him once because we know there's no point. There's no way. There's no point.
It's also, it's a
they won't spend and there's no fit.
That's the thing. It's like not only does it take them spending over $300 million, it takes them maneuvering the roster in such a way, at such a late point in the offseason.
I don't think it's that crazy. Trade Abreu. Trade Abreu, put Kyle Tucker in left or right, and no, you keep Durant, DFA. Fucking Yoshida. You could make it work, but you don't operate that way because you're the Red Sox, and this is what they do now. Back in the day, remember Pablo Sandoval? See ya. The money.
But the difference is Sandoval was a legitimate net negative for the team, whereas Yoshida, actually, there is something that he can offer.
Barely. That's very generous. I mean, like, what has he been? He's been a 0.2 WAR player.
Overall. Go look at what he did in September, and obviously the playoffs. He was one of their better hitters last year. Like,
no, I know.
I get what he's been. He's been hurt, and maybe he'll never be healthy again. So I don't want to like give the benefit of the doubt that he's going to come here
Gordo,
to camp healthy.
You're arguing why the Red Sox can't side Kyle Tucker, and the reasoning is because they're not going to DFA Yoshida. Is pathetic about the. And you're right too.
My reasoning for them not signing, well, outside of the fact that they would never pay that kind of money.
Yes.
But I think that to sign Kyle Tucker, I'm still under the belief, and I know that Breslow downplayed the idea and said it was never likely that they were trading an outfielder. I'm still of the opinion that they need to trade an outfielder. And so if Kyle Tucker's coming in, you need to trade too.
Right, but that's what I'm saying.
It's already been hard enough for them to trade one.
But you don't need to trade an outfielder if you just DFA Yoshida and have Duran DH.
I don't want to DFA Yoshida.
Really?
I don't want to.
But what if Kyle Tucker's on the table? You say no because you don't want to DFA Yoshida?
Well, the issue is then, okay, let's say you DFA Yoshida and you trade who? Trade Abreu? So Duran is your DH?
Yeah, great. Your offense is awesome. Your defense is awesome. You have one of the better lineups in baseball now. Like, imagine that lineup. You have Roman Anthony, Contreras, Tucker, Story, Duran.
Duran is not a valuable DH. He's not.
I think he is.
If they go into the season, if he's playing the majority of games at DH, they will tank his value.
Well, they're already not getting what they want for him, so I don't care about his value. And I think he'd be a good
DH.
Get
what you can.
Oh, no. See, that's not what a winning team does.
There's definitely good offers. They're holding out for great offers. There have been really good packages given for players of – like, look at what Edward Cabrera got. That's a guy with the same amount of control as Duran. And Duran is definitely a more established player.
I mean, Edward Cabrera got the 41st best prospect in the league. That's not that amazing. That's good.
That's pretty good. It's a better return than what you'll get if you DH Duran and wait a year.
No, but I'm saying DH Duran, keep him and use him as an asset. He's still a good bat. 114 OPS plus, doubles machine. He stole 29 bags. Like, that's not bad. Also, you could have him play left field quite a bit because you know that Abreu and Anthony both dealt with injuries, so you're shifting guys around the corners. I think it would work out fine, but it's a moot point.
I don't want those guys off the field. I want those guys playing the field.
But this is nitpicking to me. We have all these options that they've missed out on, and you're turning this crazy scenario. It's crazy. But if it could happen, you're turning it down because you don't want to get slightly less value for Duran. That's nuts to me. You have to bite the bullet. It doesn't have to be perfect.
Sammy, in that regard, like, yes, you're absolutely right. Like, you're not going to turn down the chance to sign Kyle Tucker over like a little nitpicky thing, like getting a little bit less for Duran or whatnot. But you also got to look at the opportunity cost there being a much cleaner fit. Like, if you're willing to pay Kyle Tucker a much cleaner fit that in Bo Bichette, that doesn't force you to trade multiple guys or DFA a guy who can be of value to you. Like, the issue with Kyle Tucker is not just the fact that it's so expensive, it's that you have to make moves that hurt your team. Like, if you just cut Yoshida loose for nothing, that hurts you. If you trade outfielders for pennies on the dollar, that hurts you. If you sign Bo Bichette, you don't have to do anything.
I think we're so far beyond that point, dude. I think we're so far beyond caring about, like, oh, this might hurt you a little bit. Like, you have already been shot in the foot and you are crawling for your life. Like, there is no nitpicking for me. Like, if they have to slightly decrease Duran's value because he's not giving you his shit defense anymore and now he's in DH and he's not the perfect DH, but your lineup is really good and he's shifting in at the corners, so you don't really care. You bite the bullet because you're winning 92 games now. Great. Is the value perfect? No, but your team is really good and you're still set up for the future. But again, they're not going to do any of this. They're maybe make an attempt at Bichette, who I agree, cleaner fit, not as good of a player as Kyle Tucker, of course. We both agree on that. But a cleaner, more simpler fit, that's probably why they're going to go for him and fail in the end.
Well, okay, so you look at a guy like Kyle Tucker, you look at a guy like Bo Bichette, you look at a guy like Alex Bregman, whatever. You had the guy on the team last year. Do you think that, for a second, were any of the fans upset about the money paid to Alex Bregman last year? Were any of his teammates upset about the money paid to Alex Bregman last year? Like Joe said it, like $35 million a year for Alex Bregman for 5 years is going to be a deal that probably he will get paid more than his production is worth over that contract. I think that's without a doubt.
Yep.
But the truth is, Cubs fans aren't going to care. Cubs players aren't going to care. Cubs coaches aren't going to care. Like, the truth of the matter here is good contracts don't win championships. Good players win championships. And you had a good player in Alex Bregman. You now no longer have a good player in Alex Bregman. You need to maximize the amount of really good star players in your organization, and they're losing the stars. They're not adding stars.
Cubs are going to be in the NLCS probably. They're not going to be thinking about how Alex Bregman's contract's going to look in 2029. They won't care because they'll be trying to win a World Series, which is the point of all of this, which seems to be lost on the Red Sox at this moment.
And even in those years, like, yeah, just because contracts age badly and aren't good at the end, like, people complain and complain and complain and complain about the David Price contract. That guy directly, significantly contributed to you winning a World Series. That was a successful contract. I don't care about the back years of a contract if a guy kills it for you in the front. And Alex Bregman not only is going to kill it for them on the front end on the field, he's going to have a huge impact on an organization with a ton of really good young talent. I don't care if Wrigley Field isn't a good ballpark fit for him. That guy is going to leave his mark on that organization. You saw it in 1 year with the Red Sox. Try it in five with a team with even more young talent coming up.
I think he's going to be awesome at Wrigley. Wrigley's pretty small. That's definitely a hitter's ballpark. I bet Bregman's going to be great for the Cubs. And we're going to have to watch it every day. We're going to have to see him.
Stuff last year about how Wrigley for pole right-handed hitters wasn't a very good ballpark fit.
I don't know. I'm sure he'll be fine. I'm not worried about his production. If he went to Detroit, I'd be like, oof.
Well, that's
now the people who didn't like him are going to be like, told you he's not good, but he's going to be good for the Cubs. I bet he's a low 800s OPS guy every year with really good defense and the clubhouse leadership. Exactly what the Red Sox need that they're not getting. So we'll see, man. I'm sticking with 5% on Bo Bichette. And again, like I said earlier, that might be generous.
Yeah, it's Bo or bust, and I have no faith it's going to be Bo.
We're busting.
We are busting. All right, Sammy, want to do some enough said before we get out of here. We've been yelling our heads off. These podcasts where it's just two of us, so like you say so much more when and so it's like we have just, it's like if Pat were here, this would have been like an hour 15 hour 20 minute podcast. Just there's not enough time in the world to get all your thoughts out on something like this when the Red Sox royally screw themselves like they have here.
Yeah, all right. Enough said. Fenway Fest. It was an event. People were there. The Red Sox players were there. But there was one awful thing that happened that we can't gloss over. Gordo and I were on the field interviewing fans about their thoughts on the upcoming season. And I overheard a Red Sox fan point at the Green Monster and say, "Wow, they're letting people into the Green Giant."
Yeah.
And I lost all faith in humanity at that moment. He called the Green Monster the Green Giant. I don't know who this guy was. I looked at him for a second in disgust, but I heard a Red Sox fan call the Green Monster the Green Giant. And I may never get over that.
I can't imagine paying for a Fenway Fest ticket and not knowing that it's called the Green Monster.
I can't imagine being a casual baseball fan and not knowing it's called the Green Monster. It's probably the most iconic piece of any ballpark in the entire sport is the Green Monster.
Like, how can you even hear about Fenway Fest being a thing when you're so out of the loop with the Red Sox that you don't know what the Green Monster is?
I'm positive I heard it too. He said Green Giant two times. And Gordo, I said it to you right away. I was like, dude, that guy just called it Green Giant. And then he said it again to his friend. They were playing catch on the field. I don't know.
Is it possible it was an inside joke or something? No, stop giving people the benefit
maybe,
of the doubt.
Maybe.
That burns me. I see way too much of the positive in people. I should stop doing that.
Yeah, you're a positive guy. You're a positive guy, and that's okay. But yeah,
not
anyway,
on this podcast.
What do you think of Fenway Fest? I thought it was fine. It wasn't. The problem for me is knowing how fun Winter Weekend was makes it hard for me to enjoy Fenway Fest because it's such a colossal downgrade, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I mean, I agree with that. I still like the event, and this will be my. I was going to talk about Fenway Fest in my enough said too. Shocker. But it is always good to gather with the community, see the players, see a lot of the guys that we haven't seen in a while. Not everybody, because can't be in all the places at once, and like the players are moving around so fast. But I thought it was really cool this year. Like every year, I remember our first, maybe it was our second, our first winter weekend, we were not play Tessie yet. We were just like a couple of things on the Bradfo show. By the second winter weekend, I remember like we got like a couple of shout outs that weekend, and it was like, holy shit, like a couple of people know who we are. And it's like gone. It's like more and more people come up to us, say hi, tell us that they love the show, tell us they listen to the show, tell us that they love our stuff, like more and more every year. And we got a lot of that this year. And shout out to the people that came and said hi. Like it never ceases to amaze me that people take time out of their day to listen to us talk about the Red Sox. It's very cool to me.
Yes, agree. It is cool. Oh, you know what bums me out? We had a really funny end to an interview because we had a lot of people who were asking, like, what's a move you want to see the Red Sox make? And I think like 80% of people said, sign Alex Bregman, right? Because that's the obvious move to make the team better. It's what you do. And we had at the end these two women who both said, we are still preggy for Breggy. And it was really funny. And now we're never going to get to release it. We're never going to release that funny clip. And those girls are never going to get to see their joke, see the light of day. And that's very sad. And I feel bad. And the Red Sox didn't sign Bregman. I don't know if you guys heard.
We might need to release that one. There was one funny thing that happened. We might need to make a that its own thing, even if we can't do the full.
Oh, that's right. Oh.
Don't say what it was, because that was really good. That was really good. Joe?
My Fenway Fest Nuff said, I think you guys are glossing over what happened there. If you saw our socials, you guys sort of relived your glory days. Gordo from high school, Sammy back in the 1930s. You didn't see this one, though, but Gordo was really bad in the batting cage.
Oh, Joe.
He tried. Was really bad. You had one good one. Joe. He had like a line drive over the shortstop's head. I didn't know you were a lefty hitter.
Dude, I used to be good at baseball. I did.
Yeah,
I did.
It was just a long time you didn't stretch out. That's all it was.
Know what they say? If you don't use it, you lose it. And I didn't believe it, but it's true.
I feel like I did very okay in the pitching thing. Like flat ground in boots, I hit 74. That's okay. Not great.
That's good.
Okay. I think if I went off a mound, I could get like high 70s. I don't know if I could hit 80 anymore. Which is not even that impressive.
Gordo, you didn't look good in the cage, but Sammy was, you know, he showed his rust too. So
I was not much better. My hand is killing me right now. My like right hand, Gordo has like a bruise.
There's your benefit, yeah. Gordo. You're not dealing with arthritis.
No, show your hand, Gordo.
I'm not showing the hand. I got this weird mark on my this happened to me in high school too when I would hit. Like I had this weird mark in my palm on my right hand anytime I swing.
I think you don't line your knuckles up because the bat shouldn't be like pressing in right there that hard. But anyway, but yeah, Gordo and I are not going to be playing for the Red Sox. Actually, we might because that would make no sense. Dude. And so maybe we will be playing for the Red Sox. Maybe Gordo's going to be the third baseman and I'm going to be a reliever.
The funny thing was I was like, I don't know how I like got looped into doing this, but I was like talking shit to Mikey Romero before I went in the cage. And thank God he had to go somewhere else before I got in there. It was so bad.
He was trying to hype me, like both of us up. He's like, come on, you guys can do it. I'm like, no, we can't, dude.
No, that's done this. I told him I could hang with him in high school. I told him that.
Oh, you said that? Jesus.
I did.
Well, the benefit to both of you guys is there was a reason I wasn't doing any of that stuff either, because it would have been 10 times worse.
You're producing. So,
you guys were already better than me without even even your poor performances would have been better than mine.
I was joking to Mikey Romero, but I don't know if he saw through it. So I think he might have thought I was serious. And I'm for that reason, I'm very glad he didn't see it.
There are a lot of delusional sports fans, not just baseball, who will like what, like the again, my favorite example, Gordo, I mentioned this yesterday, when Mason Miller threw that 104 mile an hour fastball that dotted the corner to that Cubs player in the playoffs, and I saw people being like, you know, if that hitter just shortened up, choke up a little bit, you can hit that 104 mile an hour perfectly placed fastball from Mason Miller. Oh, people are delusional, so maybe he did think you were being serious.
All right, we good to wrap it on that, fellas? Are we done talking about the Red Sox not re-signing Alex Bregman?
Yeah, I'm ready for Drake May to brighten my day.
Please.
If you're listening to this podcast and the Patriots lost, send a nice message to all of us, please. It could get ugly in this town if Drake May needs to save us. All right, that's going to do it for episode 307 of Playtesty. We're dropping this thing on Sunday, so not going to have a Monday drop. This is the Monday drop. We're just dropping it early. We'll be back in a couple of days for a Wednesday drop. We appreciate you guys tuning in. Remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Rate 5 stars. Find us on the socials at PlayTessie on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. For Sammy and for Joe producing, it is Gordo here. For PlayTessie, the Red Sox did not re-sign Alex Bregman. Breaking news. Thanks for tuning in. Peace.